everybody, and welcome back to Make It Sound Fiction, the pop culture and media podcast, every week coming to you. This is episode 8, and I am your host, Nico, and I am here with my wonderful co-host, Tyler.
I'm here.
And we are going to talk about lots of wonderful things this week. Well, not all so wonderful,
yeah,
but a lot of quotations.
Yeah.
Wonderful quotations, things. A lot of stuff in our neck of the woods happened, or things that we, you know, kind of got interested to talk about. And we also have a reader email, which is super exciting because y'all ask the best questions and we get to read it on the show, and it's super wonderful. So Tyler, what we talked last week about World of Warcraft, getting back into World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. Okay. So we talked about getting back into World of Warcraft, and one of the things that's been happening in World of Warcraft is the lead up to Battle for the Alliance.
Honestly, it kind of is, but yeah.
Yeah, but it is. Battle for the Alliance, Battle for Azeroth. And they're doing the story events that happen before the expansion comes out, and it's called the War of Thorns.
Right.
Which I always forget that's what it's called.
I don't get that name either.
Yeah, like what thorns? Where are the thorns?
The tree isn't like thorny.
Yeah.
Huh.
And this week was the big finale, apparently, of that event, at least as far as I know.
Well, it's not... people keep saying that there's going to be a payback or whatever soon with Undercity, so I don't know.
Yeah, but I thought that was going to be part of, like, BFA proper.
Maybe. I don't know.
So, yes, if you haven't done this pre-event, spoilers, but...
Yeah, it's also a short. If you've just seen the short, you've seen the conclusion.
Basically,
the Warbringer,
yeah.
Sylvanas one.
Yeah, so... What happens this week is, amidst all of the questing that you're doing in Darkshore, the Horde is advancing on Darkshore, and they basically, the cinematic, or, you know, the kind of animatic, is basically Sylvanas reminiscing on kind of her life of being, you know, taken over by the Lich King, losing to the Lich King, and her life and her struggles and that sort of thing, and she realizes that, the Alliance and the Night Elves in particular are going to ever remain optimistic and hopeful because they still, they're always going to have hope and optimism. And so in a fit of pique, I guess,
or
evilness,
yeah.
She decides to burn down the fucking World Tree.
Yeah, which is like, I guess, for context, if you don't know anything about any of this, I guess, like, what would you call, like, how would you describe it? It's just like a giant tree for a race in one of the opposite faction that matters a lot. Like, it,
yeah,
you know?
It's,
yeah.
The World Tree in Night Elf lore is a very important part of their culture and their livelihood, because their, like, faction city is in the top of the tree.
Which,
like,
is really literally cool. It's literally just the tree.
It's literally just in the top of a tree in the game. But it has a huge significance because it was the source of their, like, immortality for a while.
Right.
And it was...
There's multiple world trees, but they're very, very important.
That this one is the, like, last surviving one, as far as
we
know.
Yeah, I think there's maybe one in the lore that people, like, some person mentioned offhandedly, but yeah, I think that's the big one.
Yeah, the other one is, like, destroyed for the most part, or corrupted in some
fashion.
So
it's a big deal to burn it down, even though, like, isn't part of the story, too, that, like, it's kind of, it doesn't really have a huge, like, actual material impact at the moment. It's mostly just a cultural significance thing for
the Niles. Their city. That's
also their
where
city,
most
yeah.
of them live.
Yeah.
And so think of it like, you know, New York City for Night Elves, and it's you know, cultural heritage, that sort of thing. And Sylvanas, I guess, just decides to burn it. And if you do the Alliance side quests, which are extremely grim.
Very grim.
In particular, this week and the last couple of weeks in particular, the United States has had huge issues with, like, wildfires this summer.
Oh, yeah.
And so, Yeah, so a lot of people have been having issues with doing these quests because one of the things that you have to do is you literally have to go to the tree that is on fire and evacuate people.
Right. Which it's on, it's timed.
It's timed.
You have like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, something like that.
You have 2 or 3, 4 or 5 minutes to evacuate people, and you are given a number of people that is impossible to save. Like you have to save
like
900
or something, and you have to put out the fires, but then you have to click on the people to help them out, and they run into other fires, and you have to like put those out, and it's like designed to be impossible.
Yeah, and it's chaotic.
Yeah.
And the entire zone is filled with smoke and embers and fire. You literally can't see.
And this is like your hometown if you're playing like a night elf. Like this is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like a big deal because people are like screaming all around you. Like the audio and visual like sense stuff in the game was like really intense. And like it really felt like being in a fire. I mean, as much as a game could really kind of make that feel for you and kind of like World of Warcraft ended. But it was like pretty, it was pretty moving, and you just can't save everybody. And then when you finish the quest up, the zone is now permanently phased so that the tree is just there on fire.
Yeah, you can't just go
burning.
To, you can't go there technically anymore. I mean, you can go back in time and do a thing, but that's just basically for like convenience for like lower level players and stuff. But
yeah,
you cannot go to that city anymore.
That city is gone.
Yeah,
that city is effectively gone in the canon, and it's gone in the game.
Yeah,
and the zone is the zone that's outside of the tree, because the tree was big enough that you could see it from the next zone over.
Yeah,
that like that zone is now like full of like just falling ashes.
Right,
and
there's
like
portals
like
to it that you used to be able to take just to like get from other cities there really quickly. And if you take that portal, it doesn't bring you there. It just kicks you out onto the shore, Dark Shore. So
yeah. So imagine playing through that. Very sad, very serious, especially as an Alliance player. I heard Horde players' like experience was a little bit different because it was basically a lot of like...
Right,
because
they're the instigators, yeah.
They're the instigators, and there is like very like rah, 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 here's the Horde, let's burn a tree. Like that.
Let's just do what Sylvanas says, yeah.
Yeah. So it was really weird to play that as an Alliance player and just kind of go through this really horrifying quest chain where people are literally just straight up dying, and then you get a mount.
Oh gosh,
that's
that part.
You
really
get a mount.
Yeah, because you finish it and then you go talk to like the leader of like the Alliance, essentially Stormwind, right? And Anduin, and he's just like, "Wow, I actually didn't read the text. I don't remember what the text said. I think I'd assume it was something just like." Wow, you like were brave and like we, you know, you tried your best. Here's a mount.
And the mount is like the flavor text on the mount is like one of the last remaining hippogriffs to fly out of the city carrying survivors.
Yeah.
And it's all like
it's like
dulled
added
down.
To your thing. It's added to your collection of many mounts, and you get it at the end of a quest, and like I think there's even I'm not sure if like Blizzard or like tweeted this, but you know, the kind of the perception around the mount thing, like a lot of other unlocks in World of Warcraft, are like, you know, do this quest line to unlock this mount for both like factions at the same time, and now you have a new mount that you can only get for a limited amount of time, and it's just it's so very like achievement, like kind of like achievements, and you know, it's just about like achieving something in a game. It's very video game-y.
It's very video gamey, and it comes on the heels of something really grim and really bleak. Of, like, basically, I mean, the canon is that a lot of Night Elves made it out because there were portals and stuff like that. But the undercurrent is that a lot of Night Elves didn't make it. A lot of Night Elves and a lot of Worgen didn't make it out because the Worgen were also located in this elf city. Worgen are, like, werewolves. Mm-hmm. They're, like, a werewolf race.
Basically,
it's a long story. It's a long story. But the undercurrent is that people lost a lot of relatives. There were people that innocent and children that died.
Right.
Like just and World of Warcraft has been cranking those sorts of things up really far lately, and this just sort of like
because they keep trying to up the like ante of like up the stakes of like the game.
Yeah.
Because the game because it's been around for a while, kind of part of the thing with World of Warcraft is it's Like, each expansion, you're dealing with bigger threats. Like, they keep ramping it up. And so when they deal with bigger threats, they want it to have stakes, so they kill a bunch of people.
Yep. And so you do this quest, and then you get this, like, mount to kind of add on top of that. And to be perfectly honest, it was really depressing and sad and weird and awkward to do a quest
really
like that.
It was really grim. I don't know, like, obviously, like, the last couple expansions had some really grim moments. There's been big characters that have just died. But,
yeah.
I don't know, something about this one just really felt, like, really grim. Like, I know it's, like, World of Warcraft, but, and I know there's lots of, like, wars and stuff like that, obviously, but something about this one just felt, like, the short, the Warbringers, Sylvanas short, and then also just the whole quest at the end and the whole, everything. It felt just really, really dark, like, darker than anything I've seen in the game, really.
I think it's because most of the atrocities tend to be, have, over the years, have tended to be committed by antagonists and villains outside
right.
of the Horde and Alliance,
and also like
conflict.
Really fantastical. I mean, obviously Sylvanas is like an elf, but like something about like more of a character we already know dealing or doing something to a bunch of characters that we already know, kind of like a race we know, versus like, oh, unknown demon guy kills our favorite character, is like not as impactful.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem is that this has so many parallels to real life stuff that's what makes it so dark. And
yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I got so upset, because this isn't the first time that this has happened.
No, Warcraft does this.
Warcraft does this. And the last time they did it was called the Destruction of Theramore. Theramore being a naval outpost on one of the continents that was basically the home of one of the main characters, Jaina Proudmoore. But the Horde basically, or a Horde, or like part of the Horde, essentially decided to take a mana bomb and drop it from an airship onto a city and basically decimated it and turned it into a fucking crater.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't remind you of things that real life human beings have done to other real life human beings, it's really upsetting to see that in the game and to see that play out in a fantasy game, but have no commentary,
right? Like,
about what that means.
Something I just thought, like, it feels like, because everybody always says, you know, like, World of Warcraft's kind of quirky because it takes like pop culture references, but I think it does basically, like, the problem with Warcraft is it has like the Blood Elves doing like the Britney Spears toxic dance for their dance emote, but then it also has the mana bomb, and it doesn't like understand the difference at the references, like the level of like severity of like how important those things are.
And Horde players, after they did that event, basically after they did the quest line about their participation, which is made the player characters participate in that event, the same as this one, you got a toy for your toy box that basically recreated you blowing up.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. Wow. Okay.
Yup.
Yeah.
Yup.
This game is so obsessed with like doing big things and then getting a reward out of it. So you feel like, because a lot of the game's design is about like playing a character and then earning things over time and then like having that in your history. And I think that sometimes is like, you know, it kind of leads to like really weird and bad design, because it's like, we'll do this really horrible event that we want to like write as something kind of like more weighty, but then also like you get an achievement or you get a toy and it like, so you remember it or whatever, and you feel like you've like accomplished something, and that ends up being really bad because
it's like, and here's the thing is, I think that games can reckon with having a black sense of humor. Black comedy is a thing in modern media, like definitely cinema and TV does a lot with this sort of thing of like, you know, whistling past a graveyard, basically gallows humor. But the problem is that those things all have to be grounded in a context that makes sense, that the purpose of the really dark stuff happening has to be balanced with people that understand the gravity of how bad they are in order to make jokes about it.
Right.
And
it doesn't,
World of Warcraft doesn't do that.
It doesn't have that level of awareness. It doesn't seem to understand at all. Like, it just sort of, I don't know, I feel like it just, it takes from things and then doesn't have any something in the
to
writing.
Say about them?
Yeah, it doesn't have anything to say about them, obviously, but I think why it doesn't is because it doesn't seem aware that there should be, you should say anything. It just feels like, well, yeah, like, it's World of Warcraft, so we can have a mana bomb. Like, I don't know. I feel like it just has no idea about the context of anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still, yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there's so much stuff, because like, so much of Warcraft in the quest names, in some of the quests, in, you know, events, a ton of other events, and just every, you know, like, tons of stuff in the game pulls from other, like, things in culture. And I think it just has no idea that if it's something really dark or really grim that actually affected real people, it doesn't take it more seriously than anything else.
Yeah, you have to have, like, a 5-mile radius around the serious stuff with the jokes. You have to take it all the way serious. You can't include memes, you can't include...
Because they do. There's literally a meme in the burning of, like, Teldrassil thing. There's the, like, this, what is it? The
this is fine dog.
Yeah.
Like, they have a worgen instead of the dog, but they have a worgen sitting in the middle of the building he is in, literally on fire, and all he says is, this is fine.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be, like, really funny.
It's supposed to be funny, except that if you understood what that comic was about, you would understand that that's, like, this extremely dark joke.
Yeah.
That's not actually a joke. It's just dark. It's about somebody being engulfed by the, like, like Casey Green has specifically talked about how that comic was so not relevant, like, is not relevant anymore, because we've gotten to this place where the world as it is so much more worse than when he made that comic. And he actually made a follow-up comic that was like, the dog actually gets up and is like, this is not fine. This is not normal. Like, this is totally horrifying. And so the fact that, like, Blizzard doesn't even recognize that even that meme that they're referencing has changed in meaning and context over the past couple of years, and just decides to, like, reproduce it wholesale in their game in a very serious thing about something literally not being fine. Like, it's just meta levels of not understanding.
Which is what we talked about last week, which is the fandom having that same issue where, like, if you go to the World of Warcraft subreddit, you will find really old memes and also just, like, really offensive stuff in there that is, like, that is not... It's 2018. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's just... It seems like that fandom just connects straight to the way the game is made, and it ends up in these... It ends up like this, with these big events with jokes.
Like the fact that people in World of Warcraft, the World of Warcraft community, still make Chuck Norris jokes.
Yes, they still
despite
make,
the
and
fact,
bacon. Like, they'd still talk about bacon.
But here's the thing, is that bacon isn't secretly a right-wing conspiracy theorist who's also deeply homophobic, unlike Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris is way worse. They are way back in time on these, and they don't care, because none of them care about the, like, context of anything.
I know, and... Here's what makes it worse, is that communities don't create things in a vacuum. Like you said, they definitely take a page from the game itself, because the game normalizes those responses.
Yeah. And it just pokes fun back at them. I mean, this is fine dog joke is just like, hey, like, because people totally post that in the World of Warcraft, like, subreddit.
Like, don't take this seriously. Yeah. Here's a funny joke in the middle of something really serious.
Reddit too. Like, yeah, it's just like, oh, no. Yeah.
But here's the thing, is I saw many developers, and we'll link some of these tweets in the show notes so you can see it. I saw at least 3 or 4 people who are developers for World of Warcraft or are related to World of Warcraft team posting memes about the tree being on fire.
Yeah.
And this also was wrapped up with one of the game's narrative developers, Christy Golden, being harassed on Twitter, which is funny because this stuff was put into place long before
Was
a writer.
Yeah, before she got there, because she recently
got
was
to
hired
the team.
Like, recently-ish, yeah.
Yeah, she was recently hired, and she did a couple of books for the World of Warcraft game, but she wasn't
and
hired
she,
on the
she
team.
She wrote, like, a big cutscene in the last, like, expansion stuff, but that's it. I don't think she's done, and maybe some other quests or something, but that's it.
But the stuff that she's actually worked on is going to show up later.
Right, yeah, it is not this.
But she was getting harassed by the community.
Plus, it's still a team anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, it's still a team. So, on the one hand, you have fans who are upset about the way that this story is going, whether that's... And I don't think it's justified if you are harassing somebody about it. You have fans that are upset about it. You have fans who are... what seemed to be pulling like a Jessica Price on the situation and trying to get Christy Golden fired and harassing her on her Twitter. You know, funny that the one person who gets harassed on Twitter is the very visible woman on the team.
Yeah.
And then third, you have developers making fun of what is a pretty serious storyline for all players in World of Warcraft, and however you feel about it and however, you know, however embedded into the story you are, and there are definitely some people in World of Warcraft that take this stuff very personally. So it's this huge, it's been a huge mess of just shit for like a week straight.
Because there's also just the people who are like also just mad about like how kind of stupid the storyline is anyway in terms of writing, but I think the problems are much deeper than just like, oh, it's not morally gray. Well, okay, yes, that's true, but like it's also really bad.
Yeah. It's so I want to get your take on this. Like, how do you feel about like developers making, you know, making memes out of some like anything serious in video games? Because I know that World of Warcraft is not the only game to tackle like genocide.
I keep thinking whenever we talk about this, I keep thinking about like the Wolfenstein games and how they handle it. Which I haven't played those games, but like, it just seems like a lot of the marketing, obviously there was talk about like, is the marketing just like trying to get your attention? Cause it's like, oh, punch Nazis. And that's because that was in the news and all the time at that point in time. So, it's weird because I think it really depends on the game. Like, I think it was okay that the Wolfenstein people were just like, yeah, like we totally hate Nazis and our game is just about killing them. And like, I think it works for that game because that game has a very specific sort of like tone, and World of Warcraft just doesn't. So I think to me with WoW, it specifically, it feels like it really cheapens the game. It makes me feel like they don't really believe in the game that they're making in a way, like not believe, because I don't know, I guess, but it just feels like they are ready to be something, to like, they're ready to just make their game a joke when they try to act like the stuff that like the story stuff is really serious. And so it's hard to take any of the game serious when they clearly don't either sometimes, like whenever they want to. And it also feels like, the part I really don't like about the making jokes about it, I guess, is because it basically just sort of like nudges like the shoulder of like the people on like Reddit or whatever on the forums and stuff that like this kind of stuff. And to me, it just feels, it kind of alienates me. It feels like it's not a game for me because I don't like, I can't get with that. Like, I can't get with just like thinking memes are funny no matter what, you know? Like, the "this is fine" joke to me is like, oh, so you're just going to like include something like that, have no idea what it's about, and think it's funny because you saw it, like other people make that joke all the time on the internet, and you're going to put it in your game during this horrible quest line. And so it feels to me like, oh, you don't take your game seriously, or at least you're willing to just not take it seriously when it seems like you'll also turn around and then tell us that we should all take it seriously. Like, it's hard to, with WoW, it's really hard because the tone shifts so much with the way it's like humorous and then also really serious because it's World of Warcraft. So,
Here's my thing too. Wolfenstein making a joke about like fuck Nazis, and I know that Waypoint talked about this, Waypoint Radio talked about this a couple of episodes ago. They talked about what really is the political depth of saying fuck Nazis in 2018.
Right.
It's not a lot.
It's not super deep,
But it makes you still feel better because guess what? Nazis are real, and they're, you know, like they're real and they have a real material impact on people, and saying fuck Nazis does feel good sometimes because, you know, a lot of us have to deal with Nazis.
It's not like super complex. It's just like, yeah, they suck.
But
yeah.
Here's the thing. World of Warcraft developers are making jokes about being the Nazis.
Yeah.
Like, totally. I mean, they're not actually making jokes about being Nazis.
Not, but
that's very, very different.
Yeah.
But I'm saying in the power dynamic here, they are making jokes about being
the antagonist. You know, I just thought of something, you know, part of the...
Wolfenstein is, they're not having developers go on tour and be like, hey guys, the Holocaust
Yeah.
Really funny. Yeah. Really hysterical. The Holocaust, guys. Like, but that's what the World of Warcraft is.
Well, because I think part, and that's part of the context of World of Warcraft, is World of Warcraft has to deal with two factions that have different ideas about things. And they, yes, and one of them in this case is the ones that are very bad in killing a bunch of people. And that's the, they have to like, they have to talk about both sides, like, at, because they made both sides, you know, like, so they, when they make fun of it, I feel like it's like, yeah, like, right, am I right, Horde players? Just burn the tree. Isn't that funny?
LOL. Yeah. LOL, your antagonist, you're literally talking about, like, it's not morally gray at that point. You're literally destroying somebody's home and you're killing masses of people. You're committing atrocities and you're like, hey guys, we're gonna like stoke this like faction resentment because we want you super invested in it, but we're also gonna make your player character do something that maybe your investment in the character would determine that you don't want to do. Because World of Warcraft exists in this space where it's an RPG, but it also makes people consistently have this like dissonance of like making your player character do things that you wouldn't necessarily have your player character do, and that includes genocide and
because see, imagine
torture.
Imagine if they were, because see, like, how can they, I'm not saying this is like, I'm not giving, this is not an excuse, I'm just saying, like, imagine if they had said like, wow, this is such a horrible like time for the Alliance, is like, look at the Horde, look how like bad that, because that's the only way you could like take it, is like, look how horrible the Horde is. That would, like, make the Horde players probably feel bad, right? And they don't want to do that for, like, their player base, I guess. Like, they don't want to be... I mean, I think it'd be more interesting if they said, like, look how look how horrible the Horde is. Like, you know, but, like, typically the game, you know, because it has both factions, they're not going to make fun of, like, one side or, like, make them feel bad. They want everybody to feel cool, like they did something really impactful, which is really hollow, because obviously it's a really horrible thing. But I wonder if some of it is... Some of the reason why they're like making jokes of it is because they can't really take a side, because you kind of, if you're a good person, you would, you know?
But if you make jokes, you're not a good person.
No,
I think, I mean, like, is it as bad as like some other stuff? No, making silly memes about the game that you developed on Twitter about burning a fake tree with fake elves is not that big of a deal. I'm not that much of a hard ass. I totally get it, but you're not in the, like, good seat at that particular
But I feel
moment.
Like, I wonder if it's just being safe, like, even though it's not. I just wonder if they're like, well, I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to offend any, like, Horde players because they feel, they don't want to feel bad about the thing they did. Because they, obviously they
wrote it.
But here's
the thing!
But...
No one's like saying we're so sorry, Alliance players. Like, they're not saying, despite the fact that they're, the Alliance players are clearly in the position of being aggressed upon. This isn't like both sides. Because
usually they try to
things.
Do like the both sides thing, but now it's like, no, it's literally just the Horde killing a bunch of, like, killing a ton of people.
Yeah, as like stoking this like this resentment between both of them in order to make this like silly faction,
which is
thing
a whole thing
work.
That's stupid.
That's a whole other thing with like the expansion, because
like basically
like,
Horde
wars.
Versus Alliance is not really a thing, really. Like, it is, but it's not, like, in terms of like the story stuff, that Horde and Alliance, like, they don't really hate each other. I don't know, I guess they hate each other, but it's very, it's more complex than just one, than the Horde being just evil until now.
But I just don't want to see developers making jokes like this on Twitter. Like, I just don't want to see that.
It just doesn't work for this game.
It doesn't work for this game. And it also kind of like falls into why making an expansion about people fighting each other really fucking weird in 2018 without reckoning with what that means. I don't want to play a game where I hear people screaming and on fire when there's literally people screaming and on fire in real life. Like, there's so much atrocities and horrible things happening in the world. Why can't we have an expansion where people work together, where people cooperate, where people work towards actual lasting peace?
Or making you feel like what, making you feel any weight to what happened anyway. Like, that's the problem.
Yeah. But here's the thing is, like, I feel like you could have really done even the tiniest bit of impact in developing quests that, like, have your player character say or do something to kind of just, like, they do that sometimes is, like, they've had quests where you're allowed to choose one or two, like, rewards. Like, oh, I don't want this thing. I'm just going to choose the gold option or whatever.
Yeah.
What if, like, the end of this chain as a Horde player, you got to pick a dialogue option that's like, I don't feel good about the events that have just occurred that I participated in. I don't want a reward from this quest.
Yeah.
Because that's the tiniest little way for, I think, player characters assert some autonomy in the situation, even if it doesn't mean anything.
It's pretty vague autonomy, too, because it's, you know, like, because they usually are afraid of, like, doing too much because they have, like, so much of a story that's disconnected from the players because there's many people in a MMO. But, I think something like that, because, like, you're right, they totally have quests where you can say something, you have a little bit of, like, choice in it. It feels like they just wanted to have this big event and then just have players essentially see it but also but participate in it but have nothing to say about the participation except for with Alliance, I guess they do.
But the thing is like I am kind of tired of making either faction commit atrocities at this point.
I'm so over it.
Everybody's like gonna make a joke like, oh, it's World of Warcraft, like you said. But you know what? I'm done. Like, I'm kind of done with
World of Warcraft
being horrible.
Yeah, like, Orcs versus Humans was, like, the original game. The game has moved on a lot from that. It's not about, like, just fighting factions anymore.
Stop making me participate in atrocities or be the victim of atrocities in a video game without saying anything about it.
Yeah, because they'd never said anything before. Like, you know, the whole Orc problem, too. So it's like, it's almost better off if they stick with demons and dragons and stuff, like,
because
they...
Because then you don't feel bad. Yeah. Because then it's like, well, it's a demon. It's like a typical villain, and, like, that's what they do. They're evil versus, like, these factions that are stand-ins for player characters and stand-ins for players do these things that happen in real life, but because it's elves, it's fine, I guess. Like, bombing a city, it's fine, I guess. You know, burning a tree. It's fine, I guess. It's, you know, it's not real. This isn't a thing that real people do to each other. It's totally cool. And it's tiring because we're just going to end up working together
for a
again.
Bigger threat, an old god or something that we have to kill. A big threat,
And which is also doesn't, like, you know, traumatize people in the process. Like, there are people who literally can't do this event because it reminds them of, like, horrible stuff. And that, I think that's, like, completely fair, you know, like,
it really just cheapens the game as a whole. Like, if this is where they're going in terms of writing, they're writing up to this big event, and the big event is something that they don't care about, like, thematically at all or, like, contextually. It cheapens the next expansion, which is supposed to be, like, it's Battle for Azeroth, the planet that you're on, against, like, between two factions, you're fighting for, you know, that. So it's, like, it just really, it loses a lot. It makes the game just lose a lot of, like, impact. Not that it's had, like, a ton, you know, but I just mean, like, they could have done something here, but they did nothing.
They could have said something.
They could have said something.
They didn't.
Yeah.
And I don't think that World of Warcraft is ever going to be in the business of saying something. And that sucks because they have the vehicles for doing it, and they have the technology now to make these really kind of moving, impactful, big
And they have, like, history,
emotional
history,
story beats.
Right? They could do so much with all the, like, lore and stuff that they have behind these big characters and races and stuff, but instead they don't deal with any of it.
And it's interesting because they definitely were trying to go for something in Missa Pandaria. I feel like Missa Pandaria is the closest that this game ever got to saying something about what the ramifications of Horde and Alliance's warmongering and warhawking do. Because you drop onto Pandaria and you literally destroy a virgin... You literally destroy a virgin continent. You literally destroy it with, like, resource gathering and fighting. You literally rip it apart because you create so much discord in these Pandaren's lives that it, like, forces them to start manifesting, like, demons and spirits on, like, based on strong emotions and stuff like that. And that was the closest that the game ever got to saying something about its own condition. And then it's just kind of abandoned that because it was just about creating an expansion and, like, didn't really dig into what colonialism or imperialism looks like, because I don't think many games are ever going to dig into that as a thematic element, because that kind of requires the developers to reckon with their own complicity in imperialist or colonialist ideas in their games. And so it all comes back around to, like, developers not even standing behind the piece of artwork that they're creating.
Yeah.
With World of Warcraft, which sucks because it could do a lot.
There's a lot of games that do this. A lot of game developers do this, and it just
where they back away from saying something,
which is the whole issue lately, especially with like the way like we're getting games like The Division and stuff, where the developers are like, well, we're not trying to say anything. It's like, it's just becoming
and World
old.
Of Warcraft really World of Warcraft doesn't even have to come out.
Yeah, they don't even have to do that.
Political.
They can just have a quest that just
Well, no, they don't have to, because they can hide behind it being
elves. Oh, I see.
Elves.
Yeah. Yeah, they can.
It's fantasy.
Right.
It's just all fantasy.
It's just dragons and stuff. It's just elves.
Yeah, it's just dragons and stuff. So we don't
We're
have to say
obviously not trying
it's
to say anything. Yeah.
No one is going to ask Blizzard, or no one has at this point. No one has asked Blizzard about what they are doing about the political themes that are in their games, the political impacts that are in their games, but then not saying anything about it and straight up going and like making fun of it on Twitter.
Right.
Like, and I want somebody to ask. I want to be the person that asks. I want to do that because I want to like get an answer. Like, what does it mean when you put this so much work into a game where you destroy a whole city? You obviously developed tech for this. You obviously put resources and time and money and people power into these cinematics and these animatics and the zone phasing and all of this stuff.
Right.
And you... And your employees are just on
social
media making jokes about it.
The WoW developers are unchallenged, and the game just like operates under that reality, basically.
Yeah. It's boring.
Yep.
Anyway. I thought that was going to be a lot shorter, but I guess not.
I almost said, like, these are also the same people who tweeted, like, oh, rest in peace, Total Biscuit. You were such a... important person in the gaming community, but
so we're only discussing like I think one topic this week, but we got a really good email, as we mentioned at the top of the show, from one of our very devoted Twitch followers, a standard case who watches all of our like really cool game streams, had a email that related to us finishing Spectrum Retreat.
That's it.
So we wanted to read that and maybe, you know, talk a little bit more about Spectrum Retreat, but also kind of about the topic of the email. Hey, awesome podcaster folks. After your recent Spectrum Retreat stream, I was thinking about how it seems a lot of games overstay their welcome. When I get to the final third of a game, I tend to feel pretty ready for it to be over and don't end up being all that interested in the finale. This feels more to be a problem with the gameplay rather than the story, with the story feeling like it is ramping up to a conclusion while the gameplay feeling like it is there to pad out time before you can continue with the narrative. Do you think this is a case of needing a game to have a certain amount of content to justify the price, or do games have a big pacing issue? And yeah, the answer is probably both. Thanks for all the great stuff you two do from a standard case.
I completely agree. I very consistently have issues with the story getting to a point, and then the gameplay, like, it almost always to me, in a lot of the end of games, it always feels like, well, we gotta like really challenge the player and make them feel like they did something, like earned, or like they make them feel like they basically earned like a harder or like a good ending because they learned a lot of stuff, and now we're going to challenge their skills that they learned throughout the game, like through a boss fight. I mean, that's literally what boss fights are. And then also just like, you know, just having things where it's like, oh, here's a puzzle that's like really elaborate using all of the different things you've learned, but it also takes really long, and so that way when you finish it you feel really accomplished, but it's like right before the story comes to a conclusion a lot. Or like other like shooter games, like this is the problem with The Last of Us I had, where it was like, clearly you're getting to the end of something, but here's like a hospital with a bunch of people you need to kill that have like armor on now, so they take longer to kill, and it's just like super hard. And that a lot of games do that, and it's like really annoying because it basically, to me, it just feels like they don't believe in their story being enough of a something to satisfy the player. So they give them a bunch of gameplay. Not that gameplay isn't satisfying, but I'm just saying, like, a lot of games feel like they just have no trust or like no like faith in their story being the thing that can carry somebody through to the end. Instead, they have to make them feel like they are playing and pressing buttons to like feel accomplished. And I don't think that, mm-hmm. that you have to do that. I mean, obviously there are games like Gone Home where there isn't very much, you know, like mechanical things you have to do. And you really, like, by the end of that game, you really want to go upstairs to the attic because you really want to know what's up there and you really want to see the conclusion. And it's just as compelling as like trying to beat the final boss of some level. Games do that a lot where they try to have both and they always have like kind of a bias towards like the gameplay. And it always irritates me because sometimes I don't want to do that.
How does that work with like open world games too? Because you play a lot more of those than
I
do.
That's a problem too.
I tend to play games that like are, if they're single player, they tend to be pretty cut and dry. And I play shorter ones over longer ones because I hate that feeling of, oh, this is at 6 hours and I feel like it's getting to the end and there's another 2 hours and I hate that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. How does open
it's,
world
So
like,
I remember
how do open
the,
world
the Witcher
games
had
do
that,
that
too because like, I already have.
Do you ever reach an end? Like,
yeah, well, it's like you reach and you get. So, like, obviously, there's usually like a main story, right, for all these open world games. And so it's like you start doing those quests and maybe you take a break at the beginning and do a lot of the side stuff, see what you can do. And then maybe you get to like the middle point of the story and you're like, I'm going to go clean up this map of stuff or whatever. But a lot of the times, like almost every open world game as well, and this is why I don't really like open world games, is like you get really invested in the story and then it's like, and then it either does the thing where it's like, if you do this quest, you know, you won't be able to come back, or it'll do the thing where like you just narratively, you can feel like, okay, like now, because there are open world games where it's like, oh, now something drastically world changing is happening in the story. And oh, but by the way, like if you don't want to like start this phase, essentially like in World of Warcraft, a phase of the world, then like, you know, go do your side quests and stuff and finish up like your 100%ing things. And it really breaks the narrative, but it also feels like, well, obviously I wouldn't want to do that stuff. I want to see the conclusion. Like I'm like the story. I basically, open world games have a hard time dealing with like whether or not you're interested in a story because they also want you to be interested in doing the stuff that is like beside it. And so mm-hmm. a lot of times for me, I always have that issue where it's like, well, I want to just finish it. So I usually just skip that stuff, but it feels, the game makes you feel bad for it because it's like, oh, by the way, you only did 66% of the side stuff or whatever. Oh, you didn't unlock this special. Cause a lot of games now have stuff where it's like, oh, if you want to upgrade your character, you have to do the side stuff, right? So then like you'll get to the end and it's not like you're underpowered, but it's like, oh, you know, like you could have had the higher level sword or whatever if you just did the side stuff. But it's like, well, I didn't, like, I always have a conflict because it's like, well, I didn't want to go do that because my friend, like my, you know, this character is like gonna die if I don't save them or whatever it is, you know. And so it always is like an issue, especially with open world games. And The Witcher had this too, where it's like The Witcher got really compelling in the final half of the game. And I just had no desire to do any of that side stuff, despite the game being like, here's a brand new area with a bunch of new stuff to do and a bunch of other side quests to do. But by the way, like that the clock is ticking for Geralt to like do this big event. And it's like, well, then wouldn't I be doing the big event, not doing the side stuff? It's always like a struggle to like, because it just totally feels like the games want to have a bunch of like gameplay or whatever so people are like, don't feel like there's like a lack of content, but like don't trust their story to be compelling enough, even though they can be and they are. I don't know.
That's why I like games that really believe in their story enough to just be like, nope, this is going to be a 2 hour game. You were just going to get through this story. Like, great example of this is, of believing in your story so much that you don't care about padding out the length is, what's that game that you made me play that was like 20 minutes long?
30 Flights of Loving?
Yeah. It's got gameplay.
Yeah.
It's also got a story and it's in and it's out.
And it even has moments in the beginning, like it has moments in the middle where it's like, hey, you're walking down this hallway. You understand that it's a hallway. We don't need to have you walk through the whole hallway. Here's a cut. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Which is very filmic, I guess, because, like, you know, films do that where it's like you don't need to see the person close the door. Like, you know how car doors work. You could just hear the sound of it. You're good. like, we can cut that, yeah, you know? But I think, like, that mentality, though, I don't expect, like, games to just, like, borrow from film all the time, but that idea is there for a reason, for story. It's like, look, we don't need to, like, tell all the small details of something. We can have a shorthand for stuff. And,
well,
yeah,
also, look at Firewatch. Yeah. Firewatch did not make you play through every single day of that, yeah, game. It did time jumps as,
because,
well,
people, because that's how stories can carry you through, as long as there's, like, a through line, right? Like, you don't have to be, like, you don't have to be, like, baby, like, you don't have to be, like, handheld through the entire thing, you know?
So it makes me wonder if it's because narrative in certain kinds of games really just doesn't fit in a lot of ways with the way that a lot of game mechanics are developed.
Yes, because they don't fit, like... 30 Flights of Loving works because it's a first-person game where you're walking through spaces, and they can do that cut, mm-hmm, where you're just suddenly at the end of a hallway, where, like, The, yeah, Witcher, you're running around, like, killing random, like, you know, mythical monsters. It can't do, like, a cut and be like, then you killed the boss, or then you killed the big troll. Like, it doesn't do... I mean, it can. I think that would be really interesting if you were, like, fighting a big guy, and then, like, it was like, then Geralt killed him. That'd be kind of cool, but, like, those games are so much about, like... leveling up and like you know, using the stuff you've learned to like defeat this monster or whatever it is, or like shooting a bunch of guys. So it's like they just they always, that's the issue, is like they really want you to feel like mechanically challenged and like rewarded, when I still think there you could write something good enough to just have the person be satisfied by narratively rewarding them. And that just, like, I don't know, I always, that so many games just have no trust in that, despite having, or no consistent trust in that, because I feel like there are definitely moments in games, like, even The Last of Us does have moments where, I don't know why I keep bringing up The Last of Us, just something I'm thinking about, The Last of Us does have moments where it's like, okay, like, Ellie and Joel have been traveling, you don't need to see the travel, you don't need to kill a bunch of, like zombies on the way to the Boston or whatever, I think it was Boston, then it just cuts to, like, oh, it's winter, and they're here now, kind of thing, or they're at the like university now, and it's been months. You see, and you don't know what happened between, yeah, there. But then that's great. It's not common.
I know that there is a concept called like ludonarrative dissonance, yes, that is specifically for actions that you do in a video game that pull the player out of the ability to participate in both the mechanical and the narrative aspects of the game by making the two in conflict with each, yeah, other. I don't think that's what we're talking about.
No, there might be levels of it there, but I think that's more complex now.
That's a more complex. That's a more complex phenomenon. What we're talking about is literally games having mechanical structures to them that make having a story in them just not
right. Or they are just not confident enough to just disregard the mechanical stuff when this narrative is more important at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that that's because in a lot of like AAA games, I would say that this is a little bit
less of a problem
talking about
in AAA
maybe the
games,
indie
yeah,
space.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of games tend to size the story pretty well for like what they're doing. Like I know that this happens a lot more in like the AAA space where it's very clear that they want to build a 60 to 80 hour game and they do not have 60 to 80 hours worth of
so
story.
They make an open world and give you side quests and that counts as player made agency narrative stuff, like, oh, you went and saved five people and got your percentage up for the recruitment, you know, or whatever, you know, like, I mean, that's what like Dragon Age did. It's like, go do the side quest and then you recruited 16 elves or whatever. So it's like, I understand that there is some, I'm not like, basically, like, there are different ways you can do it, but a lot of times you really feel the disconnect because they do it badly. Like, obviously, there could be a quest where you recruit 16 elves and it does feel important. It feels like a side thing, and maybe it's not like super, super like main story importance to you, but it feels like, okay, I'm working my way through this. I'm trying to get like people recruited for this big war we're going to have or whatever it is, you know, like you could make that work in the context of the game. But a lot of games just treat that stuff as like just like filling bars or getting achievements. And then it treats the big main story stuff as really important. And it tries to grapple with like both of those things. And it usually fails.
Which is why I think a lot of times I want games to be brave enough to cut their story shorter or cut their game shorter in order to like really go along with the pacing of the story. And I think that also is something that pacing is such this email and this whole question is about
pacing. Yeah.
It's pacing.
Games really struggle.
Every narrative creation, everything that has a story has to deal with pacing, whether it's a comic book or a movie or a book, or everything has to deal with how the events in the story relate to the speed at which you move through those events and those emotional beats.
And part of that problem
beats.
Is a lot of games try to do the three-act structure, and the three-act structure works with good pacing. There's nothing wrong with it. Like, a three-act structure, you know, it's very classic, and but there's nothing wrong with it, because it's classic for a reason, because it's really effective. And a lot of games just, there you can't do a three-act structure in 14 hours or 20 hours or 60 hours. That's not how pacing works. Like, pacing is about time and, like, and making people feel compelled to like move through the story. Like, if you're not compelled, like, how can you, it's really hard to make somebody really interested in a game for 60 hours consistently. And I think obviously games are in a weird space where, you know, there's space to have games where it is 60 hours, and maybe you're like, the thing that's compelling you today is just doing that side quest and maybe just figuring out some little side story, nothing to do with the main story. That's cool. That's why games are interesting, right? You can have that stuff. But I think that if you're going to treat your main story as something that should, that like wants to be shorter than, because that, okay, basically that's the issue, is a lot of like 60 hour games have a main story that is like 4 hours. And it tries to put that in the context of a bunch of like side quest stuff, and it just doesn't really connect them very well. It doesn't make you feel like you can take a break. I think the Mass Effect games did an okay job with this, where it's like, oh, you need to recruit. It's funny how like a lot of BioWare games about recruiting people, but I know like Mass Effect 2 is like, okay, we got to do this mission. We need to like talk to this person that we've never talked to before. So we're going to have to go figure it out. We're going to have to go to this planet, and we're going to have to figure out where they are. And the whole idea of like figuring out, or the whole concept of figuring out where they are the side quests. You know what I mean? Like, so it feels like you're going somewhere, like in a grander perspective. But, and that feels like kind of, that feels actually like intuitive to what the narrative is, but a lot of games just have, that's good writing, basically. It's making you feel like, okay, I'm doing something like not super important, but it's going to get me there. And a lot of games don't do that.
The reason we kind of brought this up with Spectrum Retreat is because...
back to the actual game,
Back to the actual game, and I want to kind of wrap this up because we're getting to the end of the show, but like... it was very palpable with Spectrum Retreat. Because it inserted one really long puzzle that you couldn't break down faster before speeding us to the end. Actually, like, even the ending was not as bad as the floor very much preceding the end, basically, with puzzles interspersed, because
you're getting
with,
like, these big revelations about like, oh, who your character is and who the character you've been talking to.
The puzzles should have been shorter. They are,
and
less,
I actually
less,
thought
less
so
of them.
A lot of times games will do the thing where it's like, at the end it's like, oh, you think this is going to be a large elaborate puzzle, but it's actually you shooting a portal into the moon, you know what I mean? Like, or like, you know, and that was a cool moment for Portal 2, spoilers, I guess, but it's like that moment was just like, you know, it's like, oh, it's not like a huge complicated thing. It's elegant. It's simple. It's exactly what like everything's been building to. It's one little moment, and it just feels really powerful because the story is already there. You're already completely sold. You're ready to end it. And it's just like, you know, it's really simple. It's not a big puzzle.
Whereas I felt like the place where Spectrum Retreat really fell flat is that the fifth floor puzzles should have just been, there should have been three. Yeah. Not eight.
And they should have been like,
because it dragged, because
that was the other thing with the Spectrum Retreat, is it's very disconnected with the way the puzzles work versus the story. Like, you literally go through an elevator to the puzzle rooms, and then the character you're talking to never talks to you, because it's very much like puzzles than story.
Yeah, and the little story bits that you do get in the like puzzle aspect of it is just like little like vague memory scenes that you sort of see in the world.
It's not all.
But they're very repetitive. So
yeah,
you're not,
you see the same pieces of paper. But yeah,
and it's not telling you anything new about the story. So
it just drags. It really drags.
It's just repetitive. It just that game could have shortened up the fifth floor stuff so much faster, and it would have felt like a better.
Which
game.
Is funny,
like,
because
really
you hear that. You hear that. I mean, I wait to wrap up, but it's funny because I hear a lot of people saying like a lot of blockbuster like movies, like the Avengers and stuff, would be better if they were cut, you know, a little bit shorter, like cut off an hour because they're so long, or like, you know, like make it a little bit more condensed. And it's funny that that's a complaint with the context of like movies where that they already are cut pretty short, you know, in terms of what the story they're actually, you know, the whole thing of like, oh, turn this book into a movie, the movie's a lot shorter, right? Because that's just how films work. So it's just funny that we like, we have that issue with games, but games are already way longer than, you know?
Oh, yeah. And it's, but you know, like, movie length is frequently indicated by like how long somebody's gonna sit and digest a film without you physically doing anything versus
there's a difference,
which is funny because intermissions could be a thing. I would sit through a 4-hour movie. I would sit through a 4-hour movie.
You could play
movie,
with that.
And I felt that all. I feel like all the Marvel movies are cut so short given the amount of shit they want to pack into them. Which is another whole issue of bad writing. They really do. But yeah, it's just like, I was really upset that the Spectrum retreat was going on such a good clip and then
thought this game was going to end in one stream and it didn't even end until the next stream, but the end, it, we like went long on the next stream because it didn't end for 2 hours after we thought it was going to end. That's too long. Like, you... I don't know. You gotta.
We were speeding towards an ending, and
we
it
cheated
just didn't
to
deliver.
Get to the ending, and still took a while.
I know.
It's just games gotta have more confidence in their stories, and it is okay to not challenge somebody mechanically and just give them something really, honestly, challenging narratively.
Yes, exactly. So, well, I think that does it for this week of the show. Tyler, where can we find you?
On Twitter, I'm at Tyler Culp, TylerColp. I'm also on Twitch, and that's OtterXPop. And I'm on YouTube, which is just youtube.com/Tyler_Culp. And like all our Twitch streams are on the YouTube if you ever want to watch them.
Okay. And I am on Twitter as Apple Cider Witch. I'm on Twitch as Apple Cider Witch. You can also see both of us stream now at... Twitch.
Guess that's news for this podcast, yeah.
Yeah, news is that we got picked up as streamers for Blizzard Watch, which is a Blizzard fan site and news site. So you can check us out streaming Blizzard games at twitch.tv/BlizzardWatch. That's all one word.
Yeah, later this week we'll be streaming Overwatch for the Summer Games event.
Yep. So if you want to follow the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at MISFcast. You can also send any questions or comments to makeitsoundfiction, all spelled out, at gmail.com. Like our friend Standard Case here did, you can send us anything in. We'll read it on the show. Also, if you really like the show, please hit us up on iTunes. Rate, review, comment, super helpful. Also, if you want to get the show out there and really help us out, tell your friends, post it on Facebook, post it on Twitter, tell us that you like the show, tell your friends that you like
share
the show.
It, around,
it really helps us. Share it around. Talk about what we talked about. Engage. Super good. It helps us out a lot. So I think that's it, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.